Hi, you're listening to a podcast from AsianEfficiency.com. I'm Aaron.
I'm Tan.
And today we're going to talk about our top tips for beating procrastination. So when we started out with this article, we wanted to list 10 ways to beat procrastination. And we thought it'd be pretty hard to list out, given that the real answer to beating procrastination is to just do that activity that you're procrastinating about. But we sat down and we broke it out into lots of little pieces, and so here we are, our top 13 tips for beating procrastination.
So the first one is Pomodoros. What we mean with that is the Pomodoro technique is a time boxing technique. So what that means is time boxing is when you set aside an X amount of time and you say to yourself, in this amount of time, all I'm going to focus on is this task at hand. So let's say you have to write an article, and you set the limit at, let's say, 10 minutes. So all you do is set a timer for 10 minutes, and all you do during those 10 minutes is focus on writing that article. So you do nothing else besides writing that article. So that's kind of time boxing in summary. So what a Pomodoro is, or the Pomodoro technique, is you set a timer for 25 minutes, and all you do in 25 minutes is work on the task at hand.
So the thing that makes the Pomodoro technique work is that you're focusing entirely on one task, and it relies on the principle of momentum in that once you actively commit to doing something, it tends to make it easier to continue to do it. So the way the Pomodoro technique works against procrastination is that you pick your task, you start your timer, and usually those two activities in themselves are enough to get the ball rolling that you usually follow through and complete the task.
So the second one is make it fun.
Yeah. The way I like to think about this is, you know, even if what you're working on is pretty serious, you can find little ways to make it enjoyable. Put on your favorite music, grab a cup of coffee or a snack, and what you want to do is you want to find something about the activity that potentially excites you. So even though, say for example, putting numbers into a spreadsheet isn't exactly a lot of fun, you may find that the outcome of that, which is you make more money, actually, that is something that appeals to you and something that you would enjoy. And remind yourself of that before you begin the activity and while you're doing it. So we have an entire article coming up about this, but if you can find enough reasons why behind doing something, it makes doing that particular activity a lot easier. Alright, the next tip we have is, we call it take a break or to breathe. And the way to think about this is as a mini ritual to get yourself going. So what you want to do is before you start, you want to get up, you want to grab a glass of water or a coffee if you drink it. You want to walk around for a bit, lie down if you can, get some fresh air. You know, just take a moment out to realize that there is an end to the task that you have at hand and that you're going to be there a lot sooner than you think. So what you want to do is take a little break and then get rid of all the distractions around you. Turn off Instant Messenger, clear your desk, only have out what you need to complete the task. Take a deep breath and then just start working.
Yeah, I think that one is really important because especially when you want to get something done, you really need to get rid of all the things that distract you. Like one of the biggest productivity killers is distractions and interrupts. And so if you can avoid having those around you, then you will automatically be more productive. So let's say you're working behind a desk and you need to get work done, but you're not really feeling like you want to get work done. One of the things I like to do is stand up, you know, focus on my breathing, and then clear my desk, because I know if I can't get this work done, I know for sure it's most of the time because I get distracted by things. So kind of like what Aaron said, you really want to get rid of all the things that you don't need and gather the things that you do need just to complete this task. Right? So let's say, for example, you want to write an article, but you really cannot get started. Sometimes all you need to do is clean your desk, get rid of all the browsers, and all you need to have is a Word document in front of you. So if you get rid of all the distractions and focus on your breathing, then you will automatically be more productive and beat that procrastination.
Yeah, I mean, another way to think about it is if you don't have things to distract you, you don't really have things to procrastinate with. You know, people have a tendency to be like, oh, I'll start doing this after I check my cell phone for the 50th time today. If your cell phone's off and on silent, you're not going to check it. So clear everything out and take a breath and start doing.
So a fourth tip is creative procrastination. Now, what do we mean with that? Now, creative procrastination is when you you're not really in the moment to do something that is ahead of you. So instead, what you do is you focus on something that is more productive, but in a different area. So for example, let's say you're writing an article, and you're really not in the mood to write an article. So instead of procrastinating by going on Facebook.com or doing something else, like playing video games or, you know, taking a long walk and not doing anything or watching TV, instead of like doing those activities that kind of like kill your time, you can do something else that will help you, but maybe in a different area. So for example, reading a book that you like, or finishing up a script.
Yeah, like, I mean, one thing I've been doing is I've been trying to teach myself PHP, which is programming language, for the past couple of months. And what I'll do is when I've been writing all day and I just don't want to write another article, I'll pull out my PHP book and I'll go through a couple of chapters of that. So I'm still getting productive work done. It just utilizes a different area of my brain and my focus, and it makes it a lot easier to do. And the great thing about this particular technique, or this tip for beating procrastination, is that when you take a break from doing something, it gives your brain time to come up with better solutions and to better clarify what it is that you're doing. So to sum it up, creative procrastination, pick something else that's productive to do, but is in a different area and engages your mind in a different way.
So our fifth tip is what we call frog eating. And this is actually something we got from the book Eat That Frog by Brian Tracy. And what Brian Tracy says in his book is, if you have a list of tasks to do, if you work on the task that is the most annoying, the most likely where you're going to procrastinate, if you start doing that, then the rest of your to-do list is going to be really easy in comparison. So he got it from the saying, if you eat a frog in the morning, then you know that's the worst thing that can happen the rest of the day. And so if you focus on doing the worst task at hand as the first thing every single morning, then the rest of the day is going to be really easy in comparison. So let's say you have to do laundry, you have to write an article, you have to get groceries, but you really hate doing laundry. If that's the thing that you will most likely procrastinate on, that's actually the first thing you want to do. Because also in the morning, that's when most of the time you're not very distracted by people, especially when you work in an office setting. When you get in early in the office, most people aren't there yet or they're checking the emails, so you have a lot of time to get things done, where you can tackle the most likely task at hand where you are going to procrastinate. So the next one, the sixth one, is rewarding yourself. So the thing is, when you procrastinate, what you're doing to yourself is you're not completing the task at hand, so you're kind of like deferring yourself from a potential reward. Because every time you complete a goal or a task, you're always working towards something you want to achieve. So by procrastinating, you're not getting there anyways. So what you can do to yourself to motivate yourself a little bit is to say to yourself, okay, you know what, if I complete this task, then I get to do X, then I get to buy French fries, then I get to go to this movie, or whatever it is. As long as you set up a reward for yourself, that can kind of motivate yourself to get going.
Yeah, I mean, the trick with this is pick something that doesn't take a lot of effort to do as a reward. If it's productive, that's great. It doesn't actually have to be. So for example, I guess some of the good rewards are things like if you finish, you know, 4 hours of article writing or 4 hours of research for your term paper or whatever it is, then you can go spend time with your friends, you can go hang out, or you can watch your favorite TV show for an hour, or whatever it is, something that you don't have to put a lot of effort or thought into. Having, I guess, that as a carrot at the end of the path makes it a lot more alluring and makes it a lot easier to get the task done. Tip number seven is the concept of deadlines, which is something that a lot of people use in business to get stuff done. Now, the thing about deadlines is that you can set them for yourself, and if you're motivated enough, that will work. But for most people, they have to be enforceable by an external authority. And what I mean by this is if you think about typical office environment, if your boss tells you, okay, I've got this thing for you to do, and it has to be done by tomorrow morning, no exceptions. Now, most people, when they're faced with that situation, will be more than okay with staying back late, with taking the work home, and doing whatever it takes to get it done. And it's not so much that they want to do it, it's more that they have to do it. And someone outside of themselves is making sure that they'll get it done. Now, being wired in this way isn't necessarily right or wrong, but if you know that you respond to this, recognize it, and use it to your advantage to overcome procrastination. So a technique that we both use is we'll take an amount of money you know, be it $100, $1,000, however much you want, as long as it's enough to make yourself miss it, and you give it to a friend. And you tell your friend, okay, I have this thing to do. If I complete it by this deadline, give me my money back. If I don't, you get to keep it. And that will work for most things. It's actually pretty surprising how well that works.
Now, the key thing to that technique is that you set aside amount of money that will give you anxiety, okay? So let's say $1 will probably not
motivate you to do very much.
Yeah, whereas if you give your friend $500, then most likely you will get work done.
Yep.
Right, so make sure that whatever the amount of money it is, or maybe even possessions, like one time I did it even with a phone charger. Like, I cannot live without my phone charger. So I knew for sure that I was going to get this work done.
Most definitely. All right, tip number 8 is to break down the task into smaller tasks. So one of the reasons that we procrastinate is that we think that the task at hand is too much work, it's too much effort, it's too big. So what you want to do is you want to take it and break it down into smaller, discrete tasks. You know, start with something small and easy to finish, and do a couple of these, and you'll start to build up momentum to the point where running through the entire list of smaller tasks becomes relatively easy, and by the end of it, you found that you've just completed your original task to begin with.
Yeah, so there's like a little reframe technique that you can use in your head. Let's say you have a task at hand, and you're not really in the mood to do it. One reframe that you can do is, okay, how do I break this task down into smaller chunks? Okay, so that's one and good reframe, because you start to look at the problem differently. And two, you'll also be productive, because you'll see that most of the time you can break things down into really small things where you can make it seem accomplishable. So by breaking down things into smaller chunks and completing those, it will make you feel really good about yourself. Because if you complete a lot of different small tasks, every time you complete one, you give your body a good rush of emotions. And if you keep that going and you build that momentum, then eventually you will complete that project or the task at hand that you wanted to complete. So next time when you feel like, oh no, I can't get this done, think about, okay, let me see if I can break this down into smaller things, and let me start with the thing that I can complete right now, and then build that momentum where you can complete all of them.
Right, tip number 9 is what's called Parkinson's Law, which is the idea that a task will expand to fill the amount of time that you give yourself to do it. So the way this works in real life is that if you give yourself 2 hours to complete something, you'll do your best to get it done in 2 hours. If you give yourself 24 hours to complete the same thing, you'll find that you'll drag it along and slowly do other things in between until that task takes 24 hours to complete. So what you want to do is you want to challenge yourself to a shorter time limit. And it's usually better if the time limit leans more towards the not humanly possible side of things. And the reason that works is because some people are motivated by the thought of achieving the impossible, of performing, I guess, quote-unquote, great feats in short amounts of time. Now, I personally took this one step further. I came up with something called goal frameworks, which is basically setting unrealistic deadlines for tasks, but doing it over the course of multiple days, weeks, and months. And it's basically planning a set of activities over an entire month, and then start going at them as if it's like a video game. So every time you finish something, you get a minor reward. And you do this repeatedly, and what you'll find is that things that you thought would take you, you know, days or weeks to do start to take you hours to do. And yeah, every now and then you fall behind because things come up in your everyday life, but it does feel really good to complete tasks in shorter amounts of time than you thought would be possible. There is actually an article on this on the website at asianefficiency.com, which you can also look up.
So the next tip number 10 is keep yourself busy. Now this may seem like common advice, but it's a really, really good one. So the key thought behind this one is if you do the things you really love to do, then you will automatically not procrastinate. Because if you have that drive of completing that goals you set up, the task that you want to complete that work towards that goal, if you really have that drive inside of you, then you will most likely not procrastinate. Because a lot of times people procrastinate because they have to do things that they don't like to do. Right? It's only because an external authority said that you have to do this. And then if there's no deadline, then a lot of times you won't even complete it or even start or even look at the task. So try to figure out what is it that you really love to do and work towards that. Now, sometimes, you know, especially when you work for a boss, sometimes you have to do things that don't really motivate you or that aren't really aligned with what you want to achieve in life. You know, and that's just how it really works in the real world. Now, does that mean that you have to procrastinate every time that happens? No, of course not. We gave you a bunch of other tips that you can use. But if you, in everyday life, procrastinate a lot, then that might be a sign that your values aren't aligned with the things you want to achieve in life. So really have a look at that.
Yeah, I mean, to expand on what Tan just said, if you have enough things to do, procrastination tends to become an unrealistic option because you simply realize that I really don't have time to sit here and debate whether I'm going to do this. Either I do it or I don't, and I move on with the rest of my life. All the things that you usually procrastinate on, you know, let's go watch some TV, let's daydream for a couple of minutes, that usually doesn't happen when you have a big list of things to do, a lot of which are related to things that you want to do. So tip number 11, we call this you get courage after the fact. And this is more of a shift in your mind than an actual technique that you can use. And it's something that we borrowed from sales training. And it goes something like this. You almost never feel good before you do something that you perceive as hard. But as soon as you do it, you feel absolutely fantastic afterwards. The example that I like to use is skydiving. So when you're skydiving and you're up there on a plane and you don't jump out, the instructor pushes you out of the plane. For the first 10 seconds, you're like, oh, damn, I'm falling really fast towards the ground. And then after that, you merely realize that it's okay and that you're not going to die. And that is actually pretty cool.
Like, the example I like to use is when you just start out going to the gym. Most of the time, when people just start off, you know, with a new workout regimen or they haven't been to a gym in a long time, then, yeah, like, it's going to be tough. Like, the first step is, you know, getting your clothes on, and then the second step is actually hitting out to the gym, and then most people kind of don't want to do that. But once you have a good workout and you get those endorphins running and you feel good, you start to realize that, you know, you actually made a good decision by going to the gym and you feel great afterwards.
Yeah, I mean, this also runs on the principle of momentum, in that if you can just take that first step, as soon as you take it, you get courage, to quote the name of the tip. And something else you can do is you can look for past reference experiences that you've had or things that you've done that will reinforce the positives of what you're about to do. So you can think that, well, the last time I did this thing, which is similar to what I want to do now, I got it done and it felt great. And you can use that just to give yourself enough push to start doing what it is you're procrastinating about. And as soon as you start doing it, you're going to start feeling better about it immediately.
So the 12th tip that we have is it does not have to be perfect. A lot of times when people procrastinate is because they want to achieve perfection in what they do. And so they will find out and look for ways to make everything perfect. Now the reality is nothing's going to ever be perfect. Like, especially when it comes to business, it's more important getting work done than achieving something that is perfect. Because there's only a limited amount of opportunities you have to go after. And the windows of opportunities, they close a lot. So if you didn't go for it because you were too busy trying to find the perfect solution, or you wanted to make this line of code very perfect or anything like that, is actually holding you back from the things you really need to be doing. So what you want to do is kind of recognize and see what you've done already and praise yourself for that. And say to yourself, you know what, I've done this already. I know I still have to do this amount of work, but hey, you know, I got started already. I should be praising myself for that.
Yeah, one thing you can do is also start to systematically remove the words should and must from your day-to-day speech and replace them with want instead. The problem with should and must is that they imply perfection a lot of the time. You know, this should be shorter, this must be more concise, you don't want that. If you want to make it more concise, go ahead and make it more concise. You're not going to procrastinate about it. But, you know, if you know that you should be doing something but that you're not, that's not really helpful and it's not particularly productive. I guess the short version of this is the principle of ready, fire, aim, which is just start doing something, and when you're done with it, you can always come back and fix it later. Alright, the 13th tip that we have for being procrastination is just to outsource it. Now, this is actually part of a bigger idea where you really should be deciding if you actually need to do something at all. Because there are a lot of things out there that we do on a day-to-day basis that we actually don't need to do, we just think that we do. The example I'm going to give is grocery shopping. That's something that you can actually pay someone else to do, and you don't have to do it yourself every week. Now, the thing about outsourcing tasks is you need to make sure that the things that either you're not directly responsible for or that you don't have to be responsible for. So in your personal life, things like laundry, like grocery shopping, you can probably pay someone else to do. If you run your own company, the obvious ones are like technical work, web design, you know, programming, graphic design, things that, yes, you could do yourself, but you could also pay someone else to do it. And that way you don't have the issue of procrastinating over it because you don't know how to do it properly or for whatever reason, doesn't even come up as an issue at all.
Yeah, and if you already have a established business running, then what you can do is often you can hire interns and get them for free, actually, like non-paying internships. So that is actually one of the core things I like to do, where I get a bunch of interns, of course I screen them, but then because it's non-paid, you get free labor. So that will give you a lot of opportunities to outsource the work that you don't have to do. So every time you get a task in front of you, ask yourself, am I the perfect person to do this? If this is yes, then you most likely want to do it yourself. If someone else can do it instead, then it's better to outsource it, especially if you can get free labor or even, you know, cheap labor.
Cool. So in closing, there is no real reason to procrastinate. We just gave you 13 very good counter reasons and ways to stop procrastinating. Just also remember that there's nothing physically stopping you from doing tasks most of the time. It's just a mental hang-up that we have and something that just comes up that stops us from doing it. Just in summary, here are those 13 tips again. First one is Pomodoros. Second one is to make it fun. Third is to take a break and breathe. The fourth is creative procrastination. The fifth is frog eating. The sixth is to reward yourself. The seventh is to set deadlines. The eighth is to break it down into smaller tasks. The ninth is Parkinson's Law and to set time limits. The tenth is to keep yourself busy. The 11th is to remind yourself that you get courage after you've done it. The 12th is that it doesn't have to be perfect. And the last one is you can always outsource it. So thanks for listening. I'm Aaron.
I'm Tan.
And we'll see you guys next time.
AsianEfficiency.com